Okay, so tonight we're just talking about what we want to accomplish through this study, just introductory things. And so lesson number one is where we're beginning, obviously. The first section there in lesson one, he talks about how the author here of this material talks about how he became a Christian at 13 years old and a preacher 10 years later. At this point, writing this material, he's been a Christian for 20 years. 10 of those years, he has been a preacher, but he feels like just now he's started to figure out how to study the Bible. Just real quick show of hands, how many of you relate to that? That idea of being a Christian for a while, maybe even most of your life, but just not really figuring out how to study the Bible. Anybody relate to that? Okay. As I look out in the audience here, most of us have, quote, grown up in the church. And we've grown up hearing sermons about the importance of studying the Bible, right? That's one of the things we tend to emphasize. God's word is the authority, and absolutely. But we don't really spend a lot of time talking and teaching about how we actually do that. So that's what we're going to be talking about this quarter. How is it that we should study the Bible? I believe that Bible study is an essential life skill for a Christian. You know, just it's a survival skill that every Christian needs to have a grasp on how to use the Word of God. If we are baptizing disciples, if we're making disciples and baptizing them, and then we're giving them a Bible, we're not showing them how to learn and study that Word in order for them to grow, then they're not going to be growing themselves. And I think that was a lot of our experience. We were taught to study the Bible. We were emphasized that as a young Christian, but we're never really instructed on how to do that. So we're going to be talking about that this quarter. Tonight we're just going to be introducing the material. If you look on the cover of the material, you'll see that there are three objectives that we want to accomplish this quarter. The first of those is to develop a lifelong passion to study the Bible for ourselves. Ben, could I call on you to read 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3?
1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, so put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Okay, so Peter compares our desire for God's word like hunger. Hunger is essential to life. It drives us to food, that which sustains us. And this is something that we need to maintain and develop throughout our lives, is this hunger for the Word of God, so we may grow in that. So our first objective is to develop that passion, that driving force that moves us to study the Bible for ourselves. The second thing we want to accomplish is to train ourselves to study Scripture more carefully and reverently. Scott, could I ask you to read 2 Timothy 2, verse 15? Yes, sir. Okay. So Paul emphasizes to this young man that he needs to be accurately handling the word of truth. And so part of that is training ourselves, how should we hold up God's word and use it as the tool that God has intended for us? There is a right way to handle his word, and there's a wrong way to handle his word. And so we need to be diligent students, diligent workmen and workwomen, using the word of God, handling it correctly. So we're going to be training ourselves in how to do that. And then our third goal or objective is to know God and Jesus more intimately through their word. We cannot know God or Jesus without knowing what they say. So Christian, could I call on you to read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5? Okay, so the first four verses there really just focus on, you know, having that hunger, crying out for wisdom, crying out for understanding. When we have that desire, then verse 5 promises that we will understand the Lord better, that we will come to know him better. And so that's what we want to accomplish ultimately in this study. This is not going to be an academic study just for the, you know, sake of learning how to study better. This is a study where we learn how to know God better through their word, through his word. Just so happens that Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 is also going to be our memory verse. So want to encourage you to start trying to memorize those verses. You may have to just take it in chunks since it's actually five verses there. But those verses are going to be kind of a key verse for us as we go through this study. What we're going to be doing in this quarter is really in two chunks, really two parts. If you look at the class schedule here on the back of that cover page, the first section we're going to be dealing with, we're going to be using material written by a brother who's a preacher down in Atlanta, Georgia, how to study the Bible and enjoy it. And we're going to be skipping lessons 2 and 3, and we're going to be really using this kind of as a springboard to talk about the inductive Bible study method, which is, this method has been called different names, but it's really just the idea of observing the text, interpreting the text, and applying the text. There's really three steps to this process: observing the text, interpreting it, and applying it. We'll talk about those steps as we go further in this. It's not anything really that fancy. It's how all communication works. We'll talk about that as well. And then the second section is going to be more hands-on. We're going to take what we've learned about those steps of how to study, and we're going to implement them in a study together of 2 Timothy. And so Ben and I are going to be working together on this. He and I are just splitting this pretty much evenly. He and I are going to be alternating except for a couple of weeks in December where we're going to be teaching back-to-back because of scheduling. But Ben and I are really looking forward to this study with you all. One of the things we want to emphasize here at the outset is that this is going to be a very hands-on class. So this is why you have almost 60 pages of material in your folder, is because we want this to be very interactive and very hands-on. So we have an expectation that you will do the exercises in the lesson before coming to class. It's like anything, you will get out of it what you put in. And so this quarter is probably going to take a little bit more prep work than your average Bible class, especially when we get to the part towards the end where we're going to be talking about reading and emphasizing reading the text. We're in 2 Timothy, you know, one day every week, or each day of the week, reading it over and over again. So we want to encourage you to not skip those, that work. Do the work, and you will find that you will gain something in this class. So how much do you want to get out of this class? How much do you really want to learn to study the Bible better? We want to encourage you, and we have the expectation that you will put the work in on your end to come to class prepared. All right, so that's kind of an introduction to what we're going to be doing this quarter. So let's dive into the lesson itself. The first section in lesson one talks about feeding ourselves. And I love the illustration that he uses about the bears in this national park who are starving. So he talks about how these bears were starving and they didn't know why. They did know that they were starving, but they didn't know why they weren't, you know, hungering and searching out for their own food. And so a study was done and they discovered that the bears were relying on the tourists. And so the bears basically stopped, you know, feeding themselves. They stopped having the desire and the drive to go out and hunt for themselves. And the point is obvious. You know, we want to learn to feed ourselves rather than really relying on other people. We want to train ourselves to have the hunger to not just rely on other people, but to feed ourselves the Word of God. So question number two, you'll notice that there's the text of the lesson, and then at the end of the lesson, there's questions that go with the text. Question number two under this section, have you ever used commentaries or teachers as a crutch? Have you ever had periods in your life when you just answered your questions for class but didn't really spend time reading the Bible? Probably all of us can say yes, right? We know what the lesson is, so maybe we just spend the 30 minutes before coming to the Bible class reading the lesson, and we don't really spend time throughout the week reading and studying the Bible for ourselves. Christian? That's right. Right. And you really haven't, you know, grown, you haven't been challenged. It's that checkbox mentality. Sometimes our Bible study really suffers, and our life suffers because of that. Brother Herb? Yeah, so we're not saying that tools like commentaries or teachers or other people are unessential or are not to be used. What we're going to be talking about in this class is before we rely on what other people have taught or say or teach about something, we study the text for ourselves first. One of the bad habits we have is we tend to rely first on what other people say, and then we go back to the text and say, you know, is that right? We need to reverse that. We need to study the text ourselves, get our footing there, do our own study first, and then we can turn to others, maybe commentaries or writings or sermons or classes, and then we'll be able to see, maybe add some things to our study. Maybe it will challenge our ideas a little bit. We need to do our own study first. That's one of the key things we need to do. Who do you rely on most to feed you spiritually? This is not a question in your lesson, but it's one I think we need to think about. Just being honest, and all of us are not perfect here, so who do you rely on the most to feed you spiritually? And what happens whenever your diet is strictly dependent on others? Scott. Yep. Yeah, so, you know, if we're putting stock in other people and they let the Lord down, then that can be discouraging to us. If someone is very knowledgeable and somehow they take a wrong turn, we can take the wrong turn as well with them, or we can become discouraged, disenfranchised, or discouraged is a good word to put in there. What else? Who might we rely on most? Okay? Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, as we're young, we're growing up, we rely on our parents for a lot. But as we mature, as we grow, as we've talked about before, our faith must become our own. And we do that through a study of the scriptures. So there's others we could probably mention. Preachers, you know, we might rely on preachers or Bible class teachers to do most of the feeding of our faith. If our only diet is when we come together, if that's the only time we're really feasting on the Word of God, then our faith is starving and we're suffering. We're those starving bears. We're not being trained to feed ourselves the Word of God. So we have to encourage one another, obviously, but we don't want to rely and be strictly and solely dependent upon others. The goal of this class is to train ourselves with the skills and the know-how and the confidence that we can study the Bible for ourselves. This question is not also in your lesson, but it's one that I want to get some discussion on. What are some attitudes, ideas, or habits that consistently prevent you from being a better Bible student? Yeah, Clint? Okay, yeah, that's a good point. You know, if we've studied something before, something that's really familiar to us, that can be a huge barrier for our Bible study. Instead of looking at it with fresh eyes, we tend to just rely on things we've learned in the past. Yeah, good point. What other things might prevent us from being good Bible students? Great point. And we'll be talking about that as well. How do we keep ourselves from just reading our preconceptions into the text? And how do we keep ourselves from just snipping out passages out of their context and using them to, you know, to uphold what we already believe? That's one of the greatest dangers we have. We emphasize often we need to keep things in context, and that's very true, but we can easily be guilty, just as guilty as other people, of doing that. Yeah, Clint? Yeah. That's, again, goes back to the point about checkbox. You know, if you have a Bible reading plan, which are very good, by the way, I highly recommend having some sort of plan or goal to kind of keep you accountable, but that can easily become just, I'm going through the motions, I'm not really learning anything there. In the lesson, I'm just writing some of these down because I think we'll come back to them as we go through this quarter. One of the biggest ones that keeps us from studying the Bible is just a lack of confidence. And so in the lesson, he talks about how do we build self-confidence. Would you agree that sometimes the Bible is a scary book, challenging, difficult book, and that might keep us from feeling like we have, you know, the ability to study it for ourselves? That might be something that keeps us from studying it. So just a couple questions under this section. What makes the Bible a difficult book sometimes? Let's just list some of its unique characteristics that make it challenging. If you find the Bible challenging sometimes, why? Okay. Okay. Sometimes it's hard to connect those passages, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scott? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got different genres, different types of writings. Christian? Yeah, I mean, just in our study of 1 Corinthians, we've seen some of the challenges of that when we were talking about the head covering. You know, that's one of the more difficult things for me. You know, there's a context behind that we don't have full grasp of, and that makes it challenging to understand that. And that's true of all of the writings. All of the writings of the Bible were written in a particular time, for a particular people, by a particular author, for a particular reason. And the challenge is, you know, what are the principles that apply today, and what is the timeless truth that applies to us today? Brother Herb. Yeah, so I guess what you're talking about there is the entire Bible is focused on one theme, and that is Jesus and the salvation that we have in Jesus. And sometimes it's easy to lose that, isn't it? It's easy to try to lose sight of how this story connects with Jesus. And that can be a real challenge in Bible study, because we have all these random stories that seem like they don't have any connection. But there is a common thread throughout all of that, is the promises of God and how he's preparing us to receive Jesus. So, you know, that can be a difficult thing as well. We can probably add more to that. Robert?
One of which is valuable to us today, one of which contains valuable principles we can live from, but
Yeah, and even the Bible uses words and concepts that are difficult for, you know, 21st century Americans. When, for example, when Paul wrote about Christ being a propitiation for us, that was something that the Jews and the Greeks understood, that idea of propitiation. But, you know, even now I struggle to define what that really means. Like, what in the world is that word? That's not a term or a concept we use in America, because we don't offer sacrifices today like both the Jews and the Greeks did. And so even the Bible has these intimidating vocabulary words that they're difficult. So the Bible can be a really challenging book, but I want to encourage us as we think about building self-confidence to not be discouraged by those challenges, but rather embrace those challenges. Because as we embrace those challenges, as we work to overcome those challenges, as you work to understand what Christ's sacrifice means as a propitiation for us, you will grow deeper to appreciate who Christ is. So why do you think God made the Bible so hard? You ever wondered that before? Yeah. So here's a thought. If God wanted us to have just a checklist of boxes, you do this, you don't do that, that would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? If God just gave us a book of check boxes, hopefully it wouldn't be, you know, 1,000 pages long, but if God just handed us a checklist, a laundry list of things to do and not to do, that would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But he didn't give us that. Even whenever God gave the Israelites the covenant, the Ten Commandments, it's easy to say those are checkboxes, but really they're not. They're all summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so, you know, the Bible may seem challenging sometimes, and it really is, but it's not because God wants to trip us up or to confuse us. I think ultimately God wants us to seek him. And seeking him, you know, requires some sweat sometimes, requires some difficulty, but that's the point. You know, are we going to pursue God? Are we going to hunger for him enough to seek his word and seek to understand it well? Karen. Yeah, that's right. Especially when it comes to, you know, me putting that into action, when the Bible encourages me, challenges me to pray more, I have to put that into action. It's not just a book of literature, but really the hardest thing about Bible study is putting it into place, putting it into action. It's not necessarily understanding it, but really it's about putting it into action. So what does God require of us to understand his word? Yeah, Jackson. Yeah. Yeah. One more thing to piggyback off of that, and then to you, Brian. I was actually going to go to Matthew 13 to illustrate with the parables. The parables are amazing because they're profoundly simple, aren't they? You know, the parable of the sower, it's not complicated, really. When Jesus explains it and lays it out for his disciples and for us to understand the meaning of it, it is so simple, but yet it is so profound. When you think about, well, which soil am I? And how do I know which soil I am? When Jesus taught in parables, he taught in parables to draw people to hunger for more, to come back and ask, what does this mean? To seek for God's meaning in the parable. So God can communicate in a way that we can understand if we have the desire and we have the hunger to know his will. Brian. Yeah. Somebody once said that the Bible is shallow enough that you can wade into it and still understand the meaning, but it's deep enough that you can go scuba diving and not even mind the depths of it. And I think that's true. The simple principles of the gospel are easy to grasp, easy to understand. That, you know, even someone who is, you know, 13 years old can understand the principle of the gospel. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. And I need to believe in him and be baptized, etc. But, you know, for someone who has been studying the Bible for 45 years, there's a lot more depth to the Bible than just that, right? So the Bible is a very incredible book. Cindy. Yeah, there's definitely an element of faith that we have in order to study the Bible. One more comment, and then we'll move on.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Yes, absolutely. So the Bible can be challenging sometimes, and the Lord requires a lot of us in order to study and understand his word. Just really quickly, just want to look at a few of these passages in Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'll just read them for the sake of time. 1 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 13. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance by the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. So Paul tells Timothy to take pains, the way verse 15 says in the New American Standard, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, as he is trying to teach the word of God. I think there's a level that applies to all of us as Christians. We need to take pains to study the word of God. God requires us to do it diligently. We read 2 Timothy 2:15, where he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. There's an element where we need to be very diligent and disciplined in our Bible study. God expects our best effort to handle it appropriately. We're never going to be perfect handling the Word of God. That's not what this quarter is about. This quarter is about helping us see the importance of and training ourselves to handle it accurately to the best of our ability. And ultimately, the Lord requires a heart of faith, looking to Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, he says to Timothy that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So when we study our Bibles, we need to have that focus. What does this say about leading me to salvation through faith in Jesus? That's the lens through which we need to see every passage. Not necessarily every passage is going to be a prophecy or a promise of Christ, but it's a part of the entire package. So we need to have the confidence that we can do it. And that's really what we've tried to emphasize tonight is you can do this. God expects you to do this. And he knows that you can. He believes in you. And so we need to have the confidence we can. A few other obstacles that we might face in our Bible study. Let's just be blunt. Sometimes we're too lazy. I have found myself lacking the self-discipline to do Bible study. And sometimes that's just what it comes down to. Maybe not as strongly put, but sometimes it's just distractions. We overload our schedules. We don't have the time or really the energy to put forth to study the Word of God in an effective and in a fruitful way. And if that's the case, then maybe we need to reorder some things or cut some things out so that we can spend time in the Word of God. And maybe there's no driving motivation. There's no driving why that moves me to the Word of God. This kind of goes back to this checklist mentality. If we just view the Bible as, okay, I've got to do my Bible reading today and that's it, then that's not a very motivating thing to do that every day, is it? Check boxes aren't very motivating. But if you want to know the Lord better, if you have that deep hunger, like we read about in 1 Peter 2, that deep hunger to grow in the salvation of the Lord, if we have tasted his kindness, then that's going to be our why that's going to motivate us and keep us coming back to the Word. So sometimes we need to dig deep into our hearts and ask ourselves, do I have a really good why? You know, what is it that moves me? What motivates me to study? And we can develop that and maintain that over time. So next week, Ben is going to be going to lesson 4. So we're going to skip lessons 2 and 3. We're going to go right to lesson 4 as we talk about getting started. And he's going to be introducing the observation, interpretation, and application method of studying the Word of God. Looking forward to this quarter with you all, and thank you for your comments tonight.